are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and happy Friday. Welcome to your Timberwolves weekend. The Timberwolves host the Washington Wizards tonight before turning around and welcoming the Houston Rockets to town on Saturday evening. So today's show, we're going to spend a bit of time previewing each game, talking about what to expect this weekend from your Timberwolves to get you ready for a full weekend of basketball with the Wolves having their second back-to-back set of the season. They just had another one on Sunday and Monday. So after no back-to-backs for about the first 2.5 weeks, now we've got two within a week, essentially. First up, we're going to talk about the Wizards. It was only 2 weeks ago, I guess 2 weeks ago tomorrow, that the Timberwolves laid a shellacking on the Wizard, sans Karl-Anthony Towns. It was, of course, the first game that Karl-Anthony Towns missed due to suspension. The Wolves were coming off of two off days following their bad loss at Philadelphia, in which Towns was involved in that altercation with Joel Embiid and was ultimately suspended for two games. The Timberwolves went into Washington with Gorgui Dieng in the starting lineup after he had only played in one of the first four games. Gorgui had a monster game in this one, doing most of his damage in the first half. I think he had 16 points at halftime, finished with 18 points, 8 rebounds, on 7 of 9 shooting in just 24 minutes, had 3 blocks, 2 steals. And the Wizards had no answer for Gorgui Dieng. The other key performers for the Timberwolves in this one, Wiggins had a good game, 21 points on 16 shots. He was 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, had 6 assists, 5 rebounds. And Jeff Teague, in I guess his second to last game before his illness that took him out for 4 games, had 15 points and 13 assists with 3 steals in 28 minutes and was a plus 32 for the game, which was easily the Wolves' best plus minus mark. So a solid game for the Timberwolves, to say the least. Without Towns, they ended up beating the Wizards by 22 points. And the Wizards outscored the Wolves in the fourth quarter, which was mostly garbage time. The Wolves were up by 34 heading to the final quarter. So certainly a game that the Timberwolves could still and should still win tonight. They're actually favored by 7 points. The line is minus 7. The Wizards at this point in the season are only 2-7. And they're the only teams that they've beaten. Early in the season, they beat the Thunder on the road in the second game of the year. And then they beat the Pistons at home, a Pistons team that the Wolves just beat on Monday. And when they beat the Pistons, it was a team without Blake Griffin. Certainly not, I wouldn't say it's an impressive win that they won that game at home. Most recently, the Wizards have dropped games at the Pacers by a decisive 15-point margin, at home against the Cavaliers by 13, and then on the road the other night on Wednesday at Boston, they lost by 7 to the Celtics. So the Wizards are 2-7. They haven't been particularly good in by any stretch of the imagination. And in terms of the standings, they are now, after the Knicks won on Thursday night, the Wizards are now the worst team in the Eastern Conference at 2-7. From a winning percentage standpoint, and they're a minus 4.4 in the point differential column, which is the fourth worst in the Eastern Conference, and it would be third worst in the Western Conference. So near the bottom of the NBA, no matter how you slice it, and each of their wins has been fairly easy, and that's what's kind of skewing their point differential, because they have been blown out a lot this year. Certainly a winnable game outside of Jan Mahimi and John Wall, who everybody knew were out. No major injuries for the Wizards. Timberwolves should have Jeff Teague back. He's listed on Basketball Reference as probable with illness, but he played on Wednesday, so I would think that he'll play. And then the Timberwolves have listed both Shabazz Napier and Jordan Bell as doubtful, at least at some point in the past week plus. Napier was listed as questionable, so it's a little worrisome. It appears to be somewhat a downgrade for Napier. But on the other hand, he wasn't going to play in a back-to-back coming off a hamstring injury anyways. So perhaps the Wolves are thinking, why play him Friday? Best case scenario, he's ready for Saturday in a tougher game against the Rockets. So perhaps they're going to see if he can play Saturday. But it does not look like they'll have Napier back on Friday night to face the Wizards. All that said, this is as mentioned, a very winnable game for the Timberwolves. The Wizards have been atrocious on defense this season. They're 29th in defensive rating. They go up 140 points in a regulation game to the Celtics the other night. And obviously the Celtics are good, but 140 points is not good no matter who you're playing. The Wizards' offense has actually been decent. It offensive rating-wise, it's fifth in the league. And part of that is due to how the pace that they're playing, they're eighth in pace. And so they're getting a ton of possessions and launching a ton of shots at the rim. And part of that is also due to just how bad their defense is. So opponents are scoring and scoring fast. And the Wizards are also scoring quite a bit. They are fairly middle of the pack in terms of both three-point and two-point shooting. So they're actually doing a pretty good job from the floor, but they're second to last in the NBA in free throw rate, only getting to the free throw line more frequently than the Indiana Pacers. And free throw rate, of course, is number of free throw attempts per field goal attempt. And the Wizards are at just 0.209, which again is 29th. The Timberwolves are 10th in the league, incidentally, in free throw rate. And when getting to the free throw line, the Wizards, you know, they've made their free throws. They're actually third in free throw percentage. And again, middle of the pack in 3-point percentage. It's more their defense that's hurting them. And they also haven't had anybody really stand out individually at any point this season. Bradley Beal is still the clear best player on this team, but he's just shooting 32.1% from beyond the arc so far this season. He is averaging over 28 points and about 6.5 assists, almost 5 rebounds a game. So good per game numbers for Beal, but he's launching almost 23 shots per game at a 43% clip from the floor and 32% from beyond the arc. And actually he's below his career averages at the free throw line too, shooting just 79% from the charity stripe. So struggling pretty mightily so far. Of course, the 28 points a game isn't really anything to sneeze at, but in terms of Bradley Beal's standards, he's not playing as well as he has in previous years because he's shouldering the entire load. Thomas Bryant has probably been the next best player for the Wizards. He's averaging almost nearly a double-double at 14.7 points a game and a little over 9 rebounds a game, and shooting the ball well generally himself. And, you know, he wasn't any match for Gorgui Dieng when these two teams locked up a couple weeks ago. And I wouldn't expect him to be much of a match for Karl Anthony Towns in this one. It's certainly a game that Towns should be able to have his way in. But Gorgui really feasted on some mid-range jumpers, some actually really 10 to 15-foot jumpers just inside the paint, especially when the Wizards went to a zone for a brief period in the first half. But in the game against the Wolves, against Gorgui Dieng, Thomas Bryant had just 3 points and 10 rebounds in only 20 minutes, was 1 of 6 from the floor. So he's somebody that the Wolves should be able to hold in check. And then the third best player this year has been really kind of fun for the Wizards, has been Rui Hachimura, the rookie, has had a really great season so far. He's had every bit of an opportunity to do damage, starting all 9 games and shooting almost 52% from the floor on 12 shots a game, 14 points per game and 6 rebounds per game. Still struggling from beyond the arc, but has been really kind of a revelation as a rookie and has to be in the conversation at this point for rookie of the year. And again, opportunity is the biggest reason why. But the Wolves held him for the most part in check when these two teams faced last time as well. He had 4 points on 2 of 11 shooting and 2 rebounds in 22 minutes, was a minus 28 for the game. So he wasn't really a factor. The only player that the Wolves really struggled at all with was Isaiah Thomas, who had 16 points, 7 assists off the bench. But even still, Jeff Teague did a pretty good job guarding him overall. It took Thomas those 14 shots to get 16 points in just 19 minutes. So he was launching the ball quite a bit. And he was really the only concern. Mo Wagner, the big man off the bench for the Wizards, had a good game with 14 points on just 9 shots. But again, with Karl Anthony Towns in the fold between Towns, Noah Vonleh, and Gorgui Dieng, the Wolves shouldn't have any problem with the two big men from the Wizards in Bryant and Wagner. The bigger issue, of course, is going to be the backcourt. And whereas Ish Smith started at point guard against the Wolves last time, Bradley Beal handles the ball in this offense a lot. And he is going to be... It would be unwise to assume that he's going to have another poor game in terms of, 30 points, but it took him 19 shots to do it because he was at the free throw line a bunch. He only had 3 threes against the Wolves, no rebounds in that game, 6 turnovers for Bradley Beal in 28 minutes. And while he's struggled a bit this year so far, he's the one the Wolves have to look out for. He's, even though he's a great three-point shooter, he's more than willing to take mid-range jumpers, and he's going to have the chance to do so in the Timberwolves against the Timberwolves defensive scheme. So Beal, of course, is the player to look for, but not just because he's Bradley Beal, also because that's the type of player, the person handling the ball in the offense when the Wolves drop in the pick and roll, when they go under screens, which they, of course, shouldn't be doing against Bradley Beal, but just with the way that they tend to cover pick and rolls, Beal is likely going to get a few mid-range opportunities that are fairly wide open. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that, to be sure. Next up, we're going to talk about the Saturday matchup against James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the Houston Rockets. First, wanted to mention MyBookie. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at MyBookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. That's LOCKEDONNBA. MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. All right, let's talk about Wolves Rockets on Saturday night. The way the Wolves approach this game will be dictated in part by how Friday night's game goes against the Wizards. If things go according to plan, a few guys are going to get some rest late in the game if the Wolves can manage another blowout against Washington. Of course, don't want to counter chickens before they hatch, but clearly that would be the ideal scenario so that the Wolves could at least take a run at the Rockets on Saturday. The Rockets are 8-3 so far this season. They started the year, the way that they started the year made it pretty easy to question the Russell Westbrook acquisition. Of course, you still can, but with the team at 8-3, it's become a little more difficult. They started with a loss to the Bucks in their first game of the season and then narrow one possession wins against the Pelicans. At the Wizards, where they gave up 158 points in regulation. They won 159 to 158. They beat the Thunder by four. So they were 3-1, but with three narrow wins against three teams that are unlikely to be playoff teams. And then they lost at the Nets and at the Heat. And the Heat game was a blowout. They lost by 29. They lost at the Nets by seven. And things weren't looking great, but now they've reeled off five straight wins at the Grizzlies, at home against the Warriors, at the Bulls, at the Pelicans, home against the Clippers. And actually, looking at who they've played, they've only played one likely playoff team, and that's the Miami Heat, and they lost to them. Oh, I guess the Clippers. So they're 1-1 against likely playoff teams. But in 11 games so far this season, they've only played, going, I guess, the Bucks on opening night, they've played three likely playoff teams. They're 1-2 against them. And then against everybody else, they're 7-1. And this winning streak has, the Clippers win is obviously impressive, beating them by nine. I think it was a national TV game the other day. But beating the Pelicans, Bulls, Warriors, and Grizzlies is not exactly a murderer's row of opponents. So it's certainly a game that the Wolves will have a shot in. And also, something that's notable, Clint Capella will miss Friday's game against the Pacers due to a concussion. And at the moment is listed as doubtful for Saturday against the Timberwolves. And without Capella, the Rockets are down, I guess, basically their third best player. They also are without Eric Gordon, who has just announced he'll be having knee surgery. He hadn't been playing very well this season, but he was a big part of that rotation, had started a couple of games this season. But Clint Capella is the third leading scorer on that game. He's easily the best rebounder on the team, averaging over 13 points and 12.5 rebounds per game this season. And it leaves the Rockets extremely thin in the front court, and they're likely going to try and play small, which I guess fits a little bit with what the Wolves are trying to do. But it puts them in a tough spot when it comes to guarding Karl-Anthony Towns, assuming that Capella is out again on Saturday. That means we're probably going to see quite a bit of Tyson Chandler, who's played in every game this year, but is only averaging about 7.5 minutes per game. So we'll see who starts on Friday night when the Rockets play and be able to get an idea for what will happen Saturday. But Tyson Chandler is really the only other true big man on this team that's available. So we'll see if they make a move. Even their two-way players are both guards. So it's unclear what their strategy is going to be. Perhaps PJ Tucker tries to just annoy Karl-Anthony Towns throughout the game and get under his skin. I guess that's a potential strategy for the Rockets in this one, but they might have a tough time slowing down Karl-Anthony Towns on Saturday without Clint Capella. So far this year for the Rockets, of course, they're being led by James Harden. He's having a fantastic season again, 38 points per game. He is shooting just 41% from the floor and 31.8% from beyond the arc. 8 assists, 5.5 rebounds per game. Russell Westbrook is scoring, but and actually has a higher overall field goal percentage at 45.3% than Harden. He's scoring 21 points a game, 8 rebounds, and about 7 assists per game. Struggling mightily again from beyond the arc, shooting 22.4% from long range. So the Rockets as a team simply aren't shooting threes at a very good rate. They're still leading the league in attempts per game and makes per game because of how many they're shooting, but they're 20th in percentage. And we'll get into this in our last segment a little bit. We're going to hit on some fun Wolves team statistics, but the Rockets have the furthest average distance of shot in the NBA, with the Wolves second. And they are still exactly who you would think that they are, which is a three-point shooting team, and that's what's most important in their offense. Their pace is second fastest in the league, so them and the Wolves are 1-2 in basically everything related to pace and three-pointers. So as much as Gerson Rosas wants to say the Wolves aren't going to be Houston North, they're certainly playing like Houston North in terms of how their offense is being run, pace and three-pointers. Obviously a solid season so far for the Rockets. Numbers skewed by a poor schedule, and their defense has not been good either. It's been in the bottom third of the league, and again, against poor competition, it's not expected to go in the right direction. Let's just say that. In terms of point differential this season, I mean, obviously the 8-3 record has the Rockets tied for second in the West, but their point differential is only 2.5, which is only ahead of the Timberwolves in terms of teams that are currently in the top 8 in the West with a positive point differential. It's below everybody else that would be in the top 8 if the playoffs started today. So just a reflection of how tight some of the Rockets' wins have been against teams that aren't that good. And then they've also been blown out by a couple of teams that also aren't good. So a winnable game for the Wolves on Saturday, although second half of a back-to-back certainly complicates things. But with Capella out, the Wolves will have a real chance to exploit the Wizards down low on the glass. The Wolves are 7-0 this year in games when they've out-rebounded opponents. It was a note that Kyle Ratke had at Timberwolves.com in the preview for Friday night's game. So look for the Wolves to really crash the glass hard if Capella is not playing on Saturday. And I guess try and out-rebound and then out-3-ball the Rockets, which should be a lot of fun to watch. All right, last we're going to talk a little bit about just some fun notes so far this season related to the Timberwolves, where they rank league-wide in some different areas, and then take a quick peek ahead at next week and what we'll be covering early in the week on Monday and Tuesday. First, I wanted to mention Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/lockedonNBA. Timberwolves have played 11 games so far this season, which, of course, is more than 10%. It's roughly 14% of the season so far. So, of course, it's about time to start looking at where the Wolves land in the overall NBA landscape. In fact, every team has played 10 or more games except for the Washington Wizards, who the Wolves play on Friday. They've only played 9 games so far. So most teams are at that 11 or 12 game mark. So it's about time to draw, of course, some grand sweeping conclusions on the season. But really, it's just kind of fun to see where the Wolves are trending overall across the league. We all know that their defense has actually outpaced their offense in terms of their efficiency, but the Wolves are fifth in points scored per game across the league, and a big part of that is the pace that they're playing at. As we've talked about pretty extensively on this podcast, Wolves are fourth in the NBA in pace, according to Basketball Reference, and their defense is 15th, offense is 16th. So the offense is catching up a little bit with some strong performances recently, but the scoring has been positive. The Wolves are actually fourth in the league in blocks per game, which surprised me a little bit. Towns had some big block games early on, and Gorgui Dieng did a solid job in his stead when he was out with the suspension. The Wolves are the number one team in the NBA in steals per game, over 10 steals per game. And that's, it doesn't really mean much, but it's pretty interesting to see that they are getting into passing lanes and being active with their hands. And it really isn't a function of gambling. These aren't Corey Brewer steals that Wolves fans were used to seeing, where literally just shooting passing lanes and hoping you get lucky. They're legitimate on ball steals, or they might be doubling in the post, or or just help defense plays primarily being made by Josh Okogie, Robert Covington, Jarrett Culver has been involved more recently, but the Wolves are just doing a really good job of staying home, playing solid defense, and yet still turning the other team over, which has been really impressive. The Wolves are middle of the pack in terms of assists and three-point makes, as their three-point attempts is still in the top three. They're now third in the league behind the Rockets and Bucks in three-point attempts per game, but their three-point shooting percentage is 28th in the league at just under 31%. Also notable, the Timberwolves are actually averaging the seventh most rebounds in the NBA, which surprised me a little bit. That was something that we identified as a concern for the Wolves, starting Robert Covington at the four and not really playing two big men together all that much, although they've been doing it a bit more lately due to matchups. We had called for it after a game a little over a week ago. I think it was the Memphis game, when the Wolves just didn't play big when they should have. They should have played Towns alongside Noah Vonleh or Gorgui Dieng more frequently. Since then, the Wolves have had a couple of matchups that also necessitated a big lineup, and Ryan Saunders did go to a big lineup, and it worked. And Covington's been rebounding his position really well of late, even though he hasn't done as much offensively. He's done a good job on the glass, so that's been really fun to watch and has become less of a concern. That said, their defensive rebounding percentage is still just 20th in the league. So part of their rebounds per game is a function of the pace that they're playing at and how many rebounds are available per game, because the rate is still middle of the pack at best. But all that to say, what they're doing right now would be okay over the course of the season if they're able to maintain this level of rebounding over the course of the season, instead of it just being a blip on the radar. They don't need to be a top five rebounding team necessarily, because of how fast they're playing and how many threes they're shooting. And if they're going to be a decent defensive team, then that's fine. So where they're at now is certainly tenable moving forward. Mentioned the Timberwolves are fourth in pace, below the Bucks, Rockets, and Pelicans. So we're seeing a lot of Bucks and Rockets here in terms of, high pace and lots of threes. Good company to be in, as both teams are 8-3. Timberwolves are 7-4. Free throw rate, the Timberwolves are 9th in the league. They're actually doing a pretty good job of drawing fouls when they get to the rim. We've seen Karl-Anthony Towns is, even though the shots aren't falling from the free throw line as frequently as he would like them to, he's shooting more free throws than he ever has in his career per game, and that's really encouraging to see as well. I mentioned this, I alluded to it in the Rockets segment, but the average distance of field goal attempts this year, the Rockets are 15.4 feet away from the rim. The Timberwolves are just behind them at 15 feet, actually ahead of the Bucks and the Mavericks. And you look at some of the teams at the bottom outside of the Lakers, which is a bit of an outlier, but Nets, Bulls, Grizzlies, Pacers. The Pacers have been decent so far this year, but I think there's some regression that will happen there. All those teams, their average distance on their jumpers is the closest, just around that 12 to 13 foot mark, whereas the Wolves are right at 15 feet away from the rim. So just to give you an idea of how many of the Wolves shots are coming from distance instead of in close or in the mid range. Overall this year, the Timberwolves are really where they want to be in most of these areas. Obviously would love to shoot the ball a little bit better from beyond the arc, and also a little bit better from the free throw line. They're middle of the pack in free throw percentage too, but to be in the top 10 in rebounds per game, in that same neighborhood for assists, number one in steals, top six or seven in blocks, pretty good spot for the Wolves to be in general. And they haven't exactly had a super easy schedule. It's been strength of schedule wise. I think I saw the Wolves are 15th, and it's about to get a little tougher with the Rockets on Saturday and looking ahead to next week. But generally speaking, the Wolves are in a really good spot through 11 games. And headed into a weekend, on Monday, we'll obviously talk a little bit about Friday night's game against the Wizards, and then also pretty extensively about Saturday's game against the Rockets. But a lot could change over the weekend. And so I wanted to take a moment to just kind of look at where things stand as of now. Next week, looking ahead, the Wolves will be at Utah and then at home against Utah. So a little home and home series on Monday and Wednesday, and then next Saturday at home against the Phoenix Suns. So four of the next five games at home. After Friday, Saturday, no back-to-backs next week. The Utah and Phoenix games will be difficult. Phoenix is right in line with where the Wolves are in terms of the standing so far this year. And then Utah, of course, is favored to be a home court advantage team when it's all said and done in the spring. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening once again to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Have a great weekend.